Thank you, Pastor. You should have a handout that was handed out. And so I'm not really good with jokes, and Brother Ross said that the other day, and then I don't know if you proved that you weren't or whatnot, but Brother Vaught shared one, and maybe you heard it before, and I thought it was pretty funny. So it was about the three men, the last one wanted to stay with his mother-in-law. Y'all hear that one? Okay, yes, no, okay. Yes, some of you say you can relate. You don't even know the joke yet. I just say mother-in-law, you're already like, sign me up, right? So these three guys, let me use this one. The world was going to come to an end, you know, this apocalypse. They knew, they had foreknowledge. And the first guy, he says, they're figuring out, what are we going to do for the next week? 1 week from today, world's coming to an end. And first guy says, you know, he's a spiritual guy. He says, I'm going to go out, I'm going to tell as many people about Christ as I possibly can. He's like, okay, fair enough. Next guy, a little carnal. And what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going to have a big party, you know, just a clean party, but we're going to party for 7 days. You know, we're going to do that. We're just going to have a good time with all my friends. The world's coming to an end. They look at the third guy and say, what are you going to do? And he, you don't like this, and believe it or not, but he goes, you know, I'm going to move in with my mother-in-law. 7 days left. You can do anything. You know, the world's coming to an end. Why are you going to move in with your mother-in-law? He said, because the week would last forever. And so, now, that's not a personal testimony. I love my wife's mother-in-law. And so, just kidding. I have a wonderful mother-in-law, okay? And so, I'm blessed. And so, that's good stuff. Anyways, like I said, Brother Vaught shared that one. I don't know if it's personal or whatnot. But go ahead and get your handouts out. I'm excited about the potential we have here in 2020. I'll mention a couple things before I get into it. Of course, I think about the new building, and if you have not been down there recently, you need to get down there. It's beautiful. It really is. We just finished the rest of the four-year drywall. I think, Tim, yesterday we finished the whole rest of the four-year, and it's beautiful. They're talking about getting possibly a welcome desk, so when guests come in, I mean, it's massive. We don't even use this four-year. Now, we can complain about this stuff because we're like right at the doorstep, right? Like, it's not very welcoming, to be honest with you. Sometimes I'll walk in, it's after Sunday morning service, I'm like, someone forgot to flip the lights on. Why? We just don't use it. It doesn't matter, right? It's just like a corridor to get in and get out. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to get in there, today they were starting preps. I think they called the corner beads or something like that. They were putting them on so that they could, this week or next week, put the mud up. And before you know it, it'll be painted. And there'll be tile on that four-year floor, and it's going to look good. The bathrooms. I never thought I'd get excited about bathrooms, but man, those things look good. They do. If you haven't been in there, wow, Brother Bobby here? I think, Tim, you said Brother Bobby picked that color scheme. It's so clean. It's modern but timeless at the same time. He did a good job kind of pulling those together. And the men's bathroom, the tile's on the floor. It's on the wall, and they put up the partitions, okay? Doesn't mean it's ready to use yet, okay? It's just, but you look down, it's beautiful, beautiful. And I think today they started on the ladies' partitions and good stuff. I was walking in the auditorium yesterday, and I was just imagining. I was thinking, drywall's pretty much done. I think next week, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to start mudding. In a couple weeks, probably 2-3 weeks, it'll be ready to throw paint on those walls. Man, think about that. And pretty soon here, there's going to be paint, there's going to be carpet, there's going to be pew chairs, and most of all, there's going to be a pulpit, and there's going to be some preaching going on. And pastor's going to get up there, and he's going to preach. Man, that's something we've looked forward to for so long. 2020 is coming. It's coming. Looking forward to it. Further along, I'm thinking of people coming down the aisle, people being saved, having friend day in there, not having people, I think Mrs. Ross on friend day and a couple people around you, you're way, way, way in the nosebleed, right? Literally right next to the dirt, next to the chapel, because we didn't have a choice. Imagine having friend day in that new building. It'd be exciting. It's exciting. I'm excited about not just the building, but the new people in our church. I shared in our Sunday school teachers meeting a few minutes ago about one of Tim's guys, Brother Albert's dad, who came on friend day. He's missed 1 week since. And he raised his hand for salvation in one of the services, went out back. He said, you know, I'm not ready. Got some more questions. And so we talked to him. I tried to line up lunch with him to talk to him probably 5 times. And every time something was going on. Now, Tim works with him. Tim said, there's nothing going on. He's got a lunch break. I think maybe he was counting the cost. And we sat down. We went to good old, he's Hispanic, went to a Hispanic spot, went to Chick-fil-A. Sat down, had a chicken chicken sandwich and a salad and whatnot. And so when we were done, I talked to him 45 minutes very thoroughly, and I didn't think he was going to do it. Anyways, we pulled up into the parking lot here, and he said, I don't want to be pressured into doing this. It's your choice whether or not you're going to accept Christ. Long story short, he accepted Christ. Trying to get him baptized. And Tim said, you need to get baptized. He said, I'm waiting. I want to be the first one in that new baptism. We said, no, today is the day of baptism, brother. Come on now. But I think my wife, she said the last couple of years, she tried to get people on friend day. None of them came. I'm not going to ask. You have a bunch of people in our class. But I think in the last couple of weeks, three or four of them have been back in the last 2 weeks just from friend day. Brother Nick, talking to Brother Nick. Glad to have you back. Glad you're feeling a little better. Brother Nick, I think you said three people from friend day have been coming. They've stuck. And that's not just our classes. Those are just the ones that I know. And I'm sure in all the other classes. And I'm excited about the new people. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but our new discipleship program, you're going to talk about that, I'm sure, and so I won't say too much. But I'm excited about our new discipleship program. The pastor's been working on that for a while now, and I was going to say some of the things that it's going to include, but I'm not going to take that away from Pastor. He shakes his head, yes, because he's going to talk about that Sunday. That commercial break was free. It's going to be good, though. And so I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to our missions trip in March, a couple months here. We're taking 17 of our people overseas to see what God's doing in Southeast Asia. And I'm always excited about that because it's another opportunity for that many people to have God work in our hearts. And who knows what God might do? Maybe one of the teens will get called to go to the mission field. Maybe we'll just come back and hold the ropes a little bit better because we went. I'm looking forward to this Sunday when Pastor talks to us about our new theme and how we can get involved personally to implement it in our church. God's given us a great vision. We have a great future here at our church, and I'm excited about it. It's not because we're a great people. It's because he's a great God, he has a great work, and he's looking for people that will humble themselves and say, God, I want to be in step with your vision. Tell us what to do. And I'm glad we have a pastor that's sensitive to that and a church family that wants to do that. Now, that's all good. I talked to seven people in the last 3 weeks. Brother Ross, it was six. Someone else on Sunday, same thing. And they said, you know, 2019 was not exactly what I wanted it to be. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Some of you is probably amazing, right? But I talked to some people, and they said, you know, 2019, they were ready. They're ready for 2019 to get over so they can get into 2020. And I know as a church, we're looking forward to 2020 either way. But what's going to make the difference? And I was talking to one of the men from my Sunday school class. What's going to be the difference between whatever happened in 2019, whether it was good, maybe you had a wonderful year, but God wants us to go to new levels, new heights, and push forward as individuals, as a family, and as a church. What's going to do that? I think the difference is getting a God-given vision and purpose and giving our lives to it. But here's the thing. Getting a vision from God and keeping the vision before us, it doesn't happen by accident. In fact, it's got to be done consistently and intentionally, or it'll die. Honest answer, some of us used to have a vision that our children would not just be good kids, but godly kids. We weren't satisfied with them just not smoking weed and going out and carousing. We wanted them to genuinely love the Lord with their lives and serve him with their lives. Maybe we've lost it. Maybe it's died. Well, because naturally, the vision dies. And my dad used to say, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The vision dies what? Every 60 days, right? That was before iPhone 10s and 11s and whatever, right? I think sometimes we'll have a great message. You know, pastor will get up here and, man, the pulpit's hot. I don't want to touch that thing after the fact. And everybody says, man, that was good stuff. 60 minutes later, what is it? We're right here, right? So easy. So easy. It's got to be done continually. It's got to be done intentionally. We're reminded here, I'll say this, as a God-given vision is very important and is crucial to the success and the continued existence of an individual, a family, or a church. Proverbs 20:19 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. He that keepeth the law, happy. As he was listening to a message by my dad the other day, and he said this in that message, when you don't have a vision as an individual or as a church, even if you're a really good Christian, you get sidetracked. He said it again. He said, you get sidetracked. Now remember, we were on tour group. And I was with one of the other guys. He said, I've never heard you sing. This is probably a good thing. They put me on there. I don't know why. Probably, I don't know. I wasn't even the best recruiter, but I was on the tour group. And I sang so low. You know what that means. You couldn't hear me. But we were on our way to Northern California. And on our way up there, I was with a guy who was a speed junkie. I mean, he had a little Honda, and like he would push it. He'd say, let's see when my governor kicks in. And so no joke, maybe I'm confessing my sins. My mom maybe does or doesn't know about this, does not know about this. But he'd be going 115, 116, 117 miles an hour up the five, bobbing and weaving with semi-trucks. We survived. I'm still standing here. But and then he'd say, oh, you know, and then kind of the governor kicks in and bumps you down to 105, 102 or something like that. And so he's bobbing, weaving. He just floors it. There's a big open stretch on the five. There's no cars. There's no semis. And he's just speeding along, trying to keep it around there. And I'm in the passenger seat. And all of a sudden, we start leaning off to the side towards the shoulder. And I'm kind of looking at him. He's just looking straight ahead. He looks focused. And all of a sudden, okay, he looks focused. I look down and you know, you hit the side and it has those little markers to wake you up. And oh, everyone in the car. And he's grabs it, and instead of steadily, you know, bringing it back to the middle of the lane, what does he do? He jerks that thing going 100 and something miles an hour. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So what happened? He said, oh, he said, I forgot. I was daydreaming. I'm like, you're daydreaming going 105, 110 miles an hour. And he's daydreaming. I said, what are you daydreaming about? I said, I was daydreaming literally. He said, we were on jet skis and we were in a river. I'm like, you can do a lot of things on a river and jet skis that you cannot do going 110 miles up the five. See, what happened? He got sidetracked. Now, that's a funny illustration, but a lot of times if we're not careful, we can tell ourselves that we're looking straight ahead, but if we don't intentionally keep the vision from the Lord in front of us, we get sidetracked, and before you know, and our family gets derailed and our life gets through things like that. And so let's move. Here, next. The new year, 2020, it's a great time to rekindle that vision for the Lord. How then can we get a vision of what God wants us to do? Those of you that were at winter camp, this is not the same sermon, same passage, a little totally different angle here. And Pastor, I know you preached from this a couple weeks ago, and when you preached from it, I had already outlined this. Probably stole it from you, snuck into your study or something like that. But and it's almost the same points. When he went through his points, I said, I've got those same points. But anyways, it is what it is. Here it is. Here it is, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Here's the passage where the prophet Isaiah got a vision from the Lord, and it changed the trajectory of his life. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. We'll kind of pick up the pace here. The question is, what brought Isaiah from where he was to seeing a vision from God to doing or surrendering to do God's will for his life? I just want to look at three simple things that Isaiah saw that I want to encourage us to see here in 2020. And I think if we see these things like Isaiah did, and not just like how he did, it'll change. It'll give us a vision from the Lord. Here it is. Number one, what did Isaiah see? And when Isaiah got a vision of the Lord as he never had before. Got a vision of the Lord as he never had before. Here it is. Here we are in chapter 6. Five chapters prior, Isaiah's preaching. Isaiah had gotten visions, but we don't see that he had ever really had a personal, intimate encounter with God. We don't see that he had ever personally and face-to-face come in contact with God for five chapters. But here, he does. And it changes the trajectory of his life. Look here. It says, in the year. Well, we already read it, so we won't. It says, he saw the Lord upon a throne, high and lifted up. Let's see what Isaiah saw here. Let's move along. Here it is. Letter A. Letter A. What did Isaiah saw that gave him a vision that caused him to do some things that changed his life to do God's will? Here it is. Number one. He saw the Lord on his throne, high and lifted up. What was that? He got a vision of God's authority as he never had before. He saw God. Look, this was not any throne. This was not any king. This was the throne of the King of Kings. This was the throne of the Lord of Lords. And when you walk into a, I remember at pastor school a long time ago, Bruce, you might not remember if you went to this one, but we went a long time ago. Tim, I think you were there. Dad brought us. I think we're still younger. And they brought in a king from one of the African countries. You remember that? Pastor, I don't remember if you went. He had this huge gold chain around his neck. He had like the shoulder strap, his shoulder exposed. He's one of the African kings. And I remember they were talking about where he came from. They showed pictures. If I were to walk into his throne room, no doubt, even if it was elegant and ornate, even Solomon's probably would have been right here, a couple lions on the side. No, this was God's throne. And when Isaiah got a vision of God, he saw God upon his throne high and lifted up. It was a massive throne. He saw God for as big as God is. He saw God for what God's authority should be in his life. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Citadel. How many have ever been in the Citadel during Christmas time and you saw that huge Christmas tree? They say that's the largest. How many of you knew that that was real? It's life. If you don't know, normally, you know, Jason knows right there. He said, I knew that. His parents taught him well. There you go. Or grandpa taught him well. If you don't know, it's hard to tell because it's so massive. In fact, you see it on pictures, you think, do you realize that if you go and stand, probably a 7-foot person or a 7.5-foot person would not even be taller than the base of the tree, let alone the bottom branches. That thing's massive. I didn't know it takes 2 weeks to set that thing up. It takes 2 semis. I don't know how they do it. 2 semis to drive up north to load that thing, cut it, trim it, do all they do, drive down. And to get it set up, they have to have cranes and everything. It's massive. Now, that means nothing to you unless you stood in front of it and seen it. Last year, I took my family down there, and we were looking for cheap cologne. I thought that it was fake, all fake. So you got to watch out that place. You got the little Asian shops over there. That thing was cheap. It was fake, right? You know, Brother Ross threw out the racial jokes last time. I'm going to steer clear from those. But these little shops, they got cologne 25% off, 40% off, and it was anyways. We got to that tree, and I look at it, and I say, wow, I've seen it in pictures. I've never realized how big it was. Isaiah, I would assume, had never seen God upon his throne like he did right there. And when he came face to face with God in all his kingship and all of his authority, he could not but say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I wonder if maybe we've never submitted to the lordship of Christ. We don't believe in lordship for salvation, but we believe that there should be lordship because of salvation. And I wonder if we've never submitted to his lordship and his authority in our life because we've never come face to face in an intimate way with the Lord our God and seen him high upon his throne, high and lifted up. How big is our God to us? You know, when we submit to his authority and his lordship, if pastor gets up and he says, you know what? It's been a while since some of us have been out soul winning. We say, well, the Bible says it. Pastor said it. That's God's word. That's God. He is the ultimate authority in my life. Better get back on track. Or if there's something, some area where we've waned, we get right with the Lord. I got to move. There's Clarence Sexton. I think it's Crown College. He has a professor, if I remember correctly. And the professor, he teaches homiletics. George, you might have heard this one before. And he says, after my men graduate, I go listen to them preach one time. Just once. So his homiletics guys will graduate, they'll go preach, and he'll sit in the back of the auditorium. And he said, I only want to know one thing about my preacher boys. Do you have a big God? Do you have a small God? And he said, I can tell by listening to you preach one time whether your God is big to you or whether he's small to you. And he sat in the back of one of his preacher boys, and at the end of the message, he didn't even greet him. He walked out. And I think, brother, if I remember correctly, someone talked to him and said, you didn't say anything to him. Long story short, he said, I know he serves a big God. How big is God to you? We better move. Letter B. Number one, he saw him high and lifted up. That was a vision of God's authority. Number two, he saw that his train filled the temple. That was a vision of God's presence and his glory. See, what's the point? When he came into that throne room, first of all, he sees God high, lifted up in all of his kingship and all of his authority. And then he says, you say, what is his train? His train's not metro, right? Not tap card. The train would be the bottom of his garment. God, in all his presence, in all his glory, so filled that place that literally, his glory, which the train for a bride, if it's long, it's supposed to be glorious, right? It's supposed to kind of fan out over the stage. God's train, the bottom of his garment, was so glorious, it filled the place. See, what's the point? Isaiah came into contact with God's presence, and he realized, wow, man, there's just something about God's presence. There are two times throughout our week that we come into God's presence. Number one, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst right now, right? We gather together and pastor comes up and preaches, or whoever preaches, we are told, we're promised in Scripture that we are in God's presence. Also, when we open up the Word of God and we pour out our hearts, we hear from God, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we are in God's presence, right? Okay? But I think sometimes we get used to it. We get used to it. I was at Steelhead Coffee yesterday. I got three decent sized gift cards. I'm loving it. I gotta stay away from that place. It's too pricey, right? But if I get a gift card, I'll go for sure. And so I was there. I know how to work the system. If you use the black card from Square Cash, and you know they give you boosts, it's $1 off. It's only $2 for a small coffee. Not bad, not bad. Oat milk, raw sugar. I'm standing there and I walk up and I order, and the guy says, "You have cash?" I said, "No, I got a card." And he goes, "Well, I mean, there's a sign right there." And I missed it. There's a sign right there. It says, "Cash only." Hey, cash only. Yeah, he said, "Yeah, our systems are down today." He goes, "Okay." He goes, "You've been a regular since January 1st at least." He goes, "You've been a regular. I'm going to take care of it for now. But the sign is right there. It says cash only." The next guy that came up, he made him pay cash. The lady said something profound. She said, "You know," she said, I don't think our regulars are going to catch that. She said, "I feel like we could put a big sign right there and they'll still miss it." You say, "Why?" "Because as a regular, if there's something special, if there's something that sticks out, I don't get it." Why? "Because I'm a regular. I just know when I walk in, I'm going through the motions, give me my small coffee with some oat milk on the side, two raw sugars, then I mix that thing in, put a splash of half and half, and I'm out of here. I'm going to the office." But if a new person were to walk up, what do the new people do? "Can we check out the menu? What's going on?" And they're soaking it all up. I feel like sometimes that's how we are. We get used to it. We come to church and pastors, he's put his heart into the message and God spoke to him and God's trying to speak to us. And we say, "Oh, I'm not being fed." Look, buddy, there's a T-bone steak right in front of you. Sometimes we're not chopping that thing up and sticking it in our mouth. Why? Because we're used to it. Let's not get used to it. When God says, what did Isaiah see? And I got to move. He saw God's glory and God's presence. We're in God's glory and God's presence. Let's make it a special time and a special place. Letter C. He saw God's glory and God's presence. Next, the doorposts shook. That was a vision of God's power. God's power. I remember, it's Katrina, Trona, right? Epicenter of the last earthquake. Her hometown is where that big earthquake was. I think the road to your house or to the church split open, right? Church tiles all came down, ceilings messed up. It took a long time to get their town back in order. I'm not even sure if your town's back in order. I remember I was at RU that night, and I was standing there. It had been a long day. You know, sometimes you have coffee, it just makes you feel worse because it's just, anyways. So I had coffee, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I think, man, I'm getting lightheaded. This is not good. You know, I'm going back and forth, and I see the chandeliers going back and forth, and Miss Karen says, "Earthquake!" I'm like, "Okay, it's an earthquake. That's fine. It's not my head." But earthquakes are powerful things. Elijah saw an earthquake. Here, just God's voice, literally, just when God opened his mouth and began to speak, not only did the door shake, the literal posts. I mean, the posts are pretty formidable. They're pretty, if you look at our new building, some of the strongest points are the posts of the doors. God literally opened his mouth and started speaking, and the posts of the doors started shaking. You say, what was that? Isaiah, for the first time in that way, saw God's power. You say, I want to see God's power. You might have this year. I believe that God's willingness to show his power to us is many times proportionate to our willingness to apply faith to what he's already told us to do. So what do you mean? Say, I want to see God's power in my finances. Tithe. Right? I mean, God wants to show his power in our lives. He's able. He's very able. And not only is able, he's willing and desirous to do so. But so many times he says, I want to do it, but without faith, it's impossible to please me. And until you practice the faith to do what I've told you to do, I'm not going to show you that power that you so desire to see. I want to see God work in my finances, honor God with my finances. I want to make a difference in someone's life, go soul winning. I want to be more like Christ, separate from the things of the world. I want to know what it's like to be fed with the Spirit. Well, then stop feeding the flesh, right? I think so many times God wants to show his power, but it's based proportionately by how much faith we put in doing what he's already told us to do. Letter D. The angels with six wings, he saw God's worship. I don't like how neos hijack our word, biblical words and mess them up, right? We could go on, right? But he looks up, and there's a throne, and God's high and lifted up, a huge throne. He sees God up there for who he really is, and God starts to speak, and the posts of the door start shaking, and he sees all these things, and God's train fills the temple where he is, God's temple, not any temple, and he's right there, and he looks up, and he sees angels. You know, naturally, we think of angels with two wings, right? I mean, these ones have six, two to cover their face because of God's glory and God's brightness, God's greatness, two to cover their feet. Pastor, maybe you studied this when you. I don't know why they covered their feet. Maybe God didn't want to see their feet in the worship process. I don't know. But not those angels in God's presence, they were special angels. They had six wings. They were different. Why? Because their sole purpose was to worship God. You know, I think that God wants to have a relationship with us, but he also, you see the verse here. I think you have the verse here in your handout. Where'd it go? John 4:23, the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know, a lot of times we will see God when we come before him in true worship, right? And what is true worship? Is that man-centered? Is it? You shake your head, yes, no, and we're almost done here. No, it's not. It's God-centered, right? True worship is not man-centered, it's God-centered. And I think God wants to reveal himself to us, but we've got to ascribe to him the worth that he so desires. I think of the song service. And maybe this is just a pet peeve of mine. A lot of times I have to correct my son during the song service. So don't look over there. It's probably going on every other song. Like, son, stand up. Look at the song. It's not time to slouch, sit, mess around, flick your sister, or whatever you're doing. But worship is not music is not exclusive to worship, but it's definitely a part of it. Right? Talking about getting used to things. You want to see God for who he really is? Pay attention to the words of these songs that we sing. Now, these things are deep. Like Pastor Meyer said, it's not, I saw a tree, my dog died, my Ford hit a tree, you know, and something messed up, and I saw Jesus. No. Anyways. No, they're deep. Man, these are written by people who knew God, who did God's will. And sometimes, you know, I think we're haphazard about it. It's just, they say if you sing a song, I forget, 20, 30, 40 songs, something like that. After that point, you just go through the motions. You don't think about it anymore. God wants our affection. God wants our worship. God wants our hearts. Let's move here. The cries of the angels, I'll just give it to you. God's holiness, who God is, God's plan, what God wants. And of course, that's his glory to fill the earth. We could talk about missions. We could talk about soul winning. We won't. Next, letter E. The smoke filled the house. Smoke filled the house. See, what was that? A vision of God's anger. Oh, anger at sin. Compare mine with yours. God's anger at sin. And here it was. He looked, and you know, when he saw God's holiness, and he saw God for who he was, he saw that God does not tolerate sin. What was God doing? God was calling somebody to go tell a people, hey, there's a God that's just. He doesn't tolerate sin. Y'all need to get right. By the way, that's what God's calling us to do, is it not? Is it not to go tell a lost and dying world that there's a God up there? He's holy. He's just. One day we're going to stand before him. If you don't get right with him through salvation, then you're messed up. Let's move. And so first of all, what was it? He saw God as he had never seen him before. I want to ask a question. How was your walk with God in 2019? See, I want a vision from God for my family, for my life, for my ministry, for my future, for our church. It's only going to come as you have a personal relationship with the Lord. How's your personal relationship with God? Not how much do you get out of the preaching. A lot of that's pastor's relationship with God, and he's feeding us, of course, and we take that. That's part of it. But God wants us to walk with him on our own. You want a vision from God in 2020? Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Isaiah saw God like he had never seen him before. Number two. Gotta move. Isaiah saw himself as he had not seen himself before. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And here it is. I'll try to wrap it up in about 5 minutes here. See, what's the point? To this point, Isaiah was, I have a love-hate relationship with my glasses right now. They fall off when I sweat, but I need them to see. But to this point, Isaiah was a preacher. I mean, he had preached God's word. In the eyes of the people, man, that's a holy man. He does right, lives right. He shuns things that are wrong. He preaches hard against sin. But when he got into God's word, and when he saw God like he had never seen him before, then he saw himself like God saw him. So what does that mean? I every year, I get, how many of you do Secret Santa in your family? Secret Santa, how many of you do that? You do that? Okay. All right. So we have a lot. We did it for the first time with this side of the family, right? Because as the family grows, it gets kind of pricey to get to buy like gifts for 40 people. It just really does. Some of us try to live on a budget here. And so we did that this year. Whoever has me on my side of the family knows, boring, every year. I want Calvin Klein cologne, and I want white Kirkland signature t-shirt, size medium. That's all I want, right? And it makes it so easy. So if they ever get me, I know what I'm getting. They know what they're buying me, right? And so so I put that on there. And every year, it's funny, because I think my shirts are fairly white. I try to keep them white. I wear them 5-6 days a week. And so I want them to look sharp and fresh. So every year I get those, and it's amazing when I take my old shirts that I thought were fairly white and put them against my brand new white all cotton Kirkland signature shirts. And I say, man, my t-shirts from last year were dingy. And I look and I give them away. You say, that's mean. Well, if someone takes them, I'll give them away, all right? And so I do. Now, likewise, I think I'm doing pretty good until I compare myself with God's holiness. Isaiah thought he was doing pretty good, but when he saw a vision of God for who God really is, what did he say? He said, I'm unclean. What was God's response? If you look there in the verse, what was God's response? He said, I'm unclean. God said, you know, it's actually a little worse than that. He said, here. He said, you've got sin and you've got iniquity. Let me take care of that for you. A couple things we see there. Number one, we see God already knows, right? Is there anything in our life that needs to get worked out? Faithfulness? Maybe Brother Ray at our married couples retreat, what did he say? He said, I'm surprised. He said, I'm surprised that more men in my church don't come to me and say I'm struggling with the internet. He said, because in the group of men that I have and with the prevalence of the internet, because I'm just surprised I don't see it more. Likewise tonight. And of course, Pastor, there are some that come talk to us. But when I really get into God's word and I really try to pursue a relationship with God, God's word's a mirror, right? James tells us, I look into the perfect law of liberty. It's like a mirror. I look in the mirror. I'm not going to ask how many of you still get zits, pimples, right? I look into the perfect law of liberty, and I see there's a pimple there, right? It's a blemish. It's something that God says it does not line up with what looks right. What did he say? Just take care of that thing right away, because my law shows you what's wrong. And we get into God's word, and we see those things. He says, take care of it right away. He compared himself to God's holiness. God knows. Number two, God wants us to confess it. Number three, and I got to move. Sometimes it might hurt a little bit. I never thought about this, Pastor, when I looked at it this time, that the angel used tongs. I don't know. Maybe it was hot. Maybe he could have just grabbed it himself. But God told the angel, he says, hey, Isaiah said, hey, I get into God's word. I see God for who he really is. I see some things not right in my life. I'm unholy. I'm unclean. I'm a sinner. I'm human. I want to get these things right so I can do God's will. And what happens? He's up front with God. God says, okay, angel, seraphim, fly down from where you're standing up there. Fly down. Get some tongs. Don't touch it yourself. Get that coal. It's a hot, live coal from off the altar. And he said, go put it on his lips. No, I don't like to read too much into scripture, but I'm guessing if the angel took tongs and put it on his lips, it might have hurt or been uncomfortable. To get right with God, to come out and say, man, I have been slacking in this area. I haven't really walked with God in 2019. Haven't been the soul winner that I ought to be. There are some things in my life that are not right. Sometimes it hurts, but for Isaiah, it was dead sure worth it. And if God reveals anything in our life as we get into, as we look at him and we get a vision of him, let's get those things right. And I got to move. And I'm done. About 30 seconds here. Number three, what did Isaiah see? Isaiah saw the need as he had never seen it before. Because Isaiah saw God for who he really was, because he saw himself as God saw him, then he saw the need as he had never seen it before. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I. Send me." I'll tell you this. I'll be done. If we get into this book, if we're willing to come get right and come clean before God, he's going to start showing us needs. When we see a need, it's not, "Here am I, Lord. Send George." It's not, "Here am I, Lord. Jasmine should be the next bus worker." It's not, "Here am I, Lord. Brother Jerry's a good soul winner." No. I see God for who he is. I'm willing to get right, come clean, take care of those things that weren't right, to get right so I can do his will. And then I start to see a need like I never saw it before. And then when God works on us about that need, let's be the first one to say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." I'm excited about this coming Sunday. Pastor's going to talk to us about the vision for the upcoming year. Let's get right. Let's get into this book. Let's walk with God. Let's come clean with God. And when we hear the vision from the man of God, when God speaks to us, I'll go soul winning. God wants me to go to the mission field, I'll go. God wants me to join a bus route, I'll go. I'm the Sunday school guy. I know we need more Sunday school teachers, Pastor. We can always use more Sunday school teachers. I don't know if my mom's around here. She's probably at the nursery filling in. I know they can always use more nursery workers. God wants to use us to fill a need that only we can fill. And let's be like Isaiah. Let's see God this year. Let's be willing to come clean, and let's fill the need as God reveals it to us. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer.